Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT, we have an Ask Button question.
I love Ask Button questions. I wish everyone who uses the Demon would use the Ask Button more, because asking good questions to our amazing team of tutors who are just an email away does end up in getting clarity very quickly. Anyway, this particular question says, "Hi, I'm noticing with flaw questions that I can articulate the problem, but I get tripped up in how the LSAT phrases the flaw. How do I get over this?"
Okay, so one, the answer choices in flaw questions and reasoning questions do tend to be a little abstract for people. They don't refer directly to the content often in the passage. They may describe the content, and that's what's happening here. They're describing the flaw.
Yep.
But I do want to talk about a specific thing I just suggested yesterday in class to someone. We were looking at, I think it was probably a flaw question, and the answer choice was wordy, and I think that was the correct answer as well. And someone was asking about that, and they said, "Hey, this exact question, I get tripped up on these sometimes. How do I break them down?" And I said, well, you want to break up the answer choice and deal with each part of it one at a time. Can you understand the first part? If you can, and it still works with a potentially correct answer, then keep going. But specifically, I said, look, on the LSAT, these answer choices and just passages in general, the writers use a lot of that phrases. And the that phrases are very long. And what they're doing is they're describing the word that came before the that phrase. So for example, if I said to you, or if you read a sentence that says, the research that was conducted under suboptimal conditions last year, right?
So like, there's a dot, dot, dot in there, right? The
there's
research
a dot, dot, dot.
By that, there's something that follows the that. Can you maybe flesh out that example a little more?
Yeah. So let me just say that the sentence starts by saying the research that, okay, and then what's going to come after this word that is going to describe the research. So the research that was conducted under suboptimal conditions last year is, you know, and then the sentence might continue, is something you should consider or whatever. Right?
Like, must be discarded.
Must be discarded or must be considered or must be used or something like that. It doesn't really matter. The point is that the sentence is going to go on after that phrase is done. But what oftentimes I will find myself doing is I will see that phrase, for example, the research that was conducted under suboptimal conditions last year. And I will stop and I will say, okay, what research are we talking about? We're talking about the research that was conducted under suboptimal conditions. Was the research in this example conducted under suboptimal conditions? Yeah, it was. They talked about how they didn't have enough participants. Okay.
I see.
And was it conducted last year? Yeah, it was. Okay. I now know what I'm talking about. And then I will start the sentence over again, but I don't say all of that shit again. I just say, that research that we just talked about, what do we know about it? Well, it should be discarded.
And let me point out here that 4 out of the 5 times you already you're probably going to know that answer is wrong.
Sure. Cause it's like suboptimal conditions.
The research that was performed under suboptimal conditions. And on a flaw question, you have to be able to prove that they did what the answer is describing. That's the big difference between flaw and weaken, which many students don't catch. That weaken questions are about, you know, which one, if it were true, would cause them a problem. Flaw questions are which one did they actually do? And it's a problem.
Yep.
So if you read the first half of that and it says the research that was proposed under suboptimal conditions, if you look back at the record and you go, I don't see any research here that was done under suboptimal conditions.
Yep. You're done.
Then that answer is wrong, no matter what the rest of the answer says.
Or last year. Oh, yeah, it was conducted under suboptimal conditions, but it was last month or next month, or I don't know.
Yeah.
At any point, you can leave the answer.
Right. So the thing that our Ask Button correspondent here might not be understanding, or they might not be getting is that you do have to do these flaw questions by process of elimination sometimes. Like, you've read the argument, you know why it's bullshit, right? Like, if I said, if you're in Portland, then you're in Oregon. Joe's in Oregon, therefore Joe's in Portland. Well, no, because Joe could be in anywhere else in Oregon, you know, Bandon or whatever. There's other places in Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know what's wrong with that, but I might not be able to articulate it in exactly the words that the LSAC is going to use this time on this answer, because there's lots of different ways that they could articulate it.
Yeah.
So the first time I read that answer, I might not like understand it. It might not really jump out at me, but if I can't conclusively eliminate it and I can conclusively eliminate the other four, then I'm going to come back to that answer, which says, you know, in this case, it might say it confuses a sufficient condition for a necessary condition.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's what they did. Portland is sufficient to prove that you have to be in Oregon, but just because you're in Oregon doesn't necessarily mean that you're in Portland. You're confusing sufficient for necessary. That's the LSAT's most common flaw. Every student is going to have to get over that hump at some point during their LSAT studies. They've got to learn that flaw, because that's the big one, right? That, or one of the very big ones that's tested every single LSAT multiple times. And they don't they can describe it in other ways too, right? They could say something like, mistakenly inferred from the fact that a thing that must be true in a given circumstance is true, that the given circumstance must be true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another way of describing that exact same flaw, I think. And it's using completely different words every time. So you really have to take the time, like Ben was talking specifically about parsing these that clauses. But all you're really doing there, Ben, is you're saying, I'm reading the answer very carefully to understand what it's saying. And then I'm seeing whether the record supports what this answer says.
Yeah. And the second it stops supporting it, I can leave. So even though I'm slowing down and carefully reading each part of these answer choices, that does not mean it's going to take me a long time. In fact, I can move faster because I understand exactly what's being said. And the second it goes off course, I leave.
And students get it exactly backward. Novices get it exactly backward. And this is why sometimes if, you know, we see people improve their LSAT by 20 points or 25 points or even sometimes 30 points or more, because they fundamentally change the way they're approaching the test. Novices approach it like, I'm going to read the whole answer and, oh, there's a word there that I know is a good, like, that's a good, yeah, that could be it.
Yep.
Instead of, okay, dude, there is one part there that like might be used in a correct answer, but did you see all the other parts in that answer that just don't have any connection to the passage whatsoever? If you would have read the answer slower, you might have eliminated it after just a few words. Yeah. Instead, you're looking at some shit that's in the very end of that long, convoluted answer. And on a flaw question, they're asking you which one you can prove. It's a lot like a must be true question. Which one can you prove they did wrong? So if there's shit in there that you don't understand, that is probably not the answer. And once in a while, you might conclusively eliminate four other answers, and you might have to come back to that one and go, you know, I didn't understand that the first time, but it can't be any of these other four, and I refuse to pick wrong answers. So let me reread this right answer, or this other answer that I didn't understand, and then you might be able to match every single word in that answer choice. You might be able to see how, oh, yeah, that doesn't misdescribe. You know, it correctly describes the argument. And if the other four definitely incorrectly describe the argument, then the one that correctly describes the argument is correct on a flaw question. Because it really is a must be true type of exercise. Which one does the record show? Last thing I would want to say is maybe the thing I should have said first, which is that if you just keep practicing these flaw questions a lot, you will learn the language of the test makers. Not that you're going to, you know, because they can and will use novel phrases on every single test. They're going to continually adapt that language always. But the more you practice, the more you steep yourself in it. You know, we recommend doing an hour a day of high quality LSAT studying for however long it takes. And if you do one high quality hour every day, you will be better and better at seeing how the LSAT is going to phrase their descriptions. This applies, by the way, a lot to reasoning questions, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because reasoning questions, they say which one of the following is a method of reasoning employed by the argument. Those reasoning questions, the correct answers are almost always abstract. And you have to learn the phrases that the LSAT uses to describe the language that they used. Also, it's a very literal test. I mean, the words mean what they say, right? They're using dictionary definitions of these words. They have seriously vetted it to make sure that it is accurate. And the four wrong answers are demonstrably inaccurate. So process of elimination does work. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.